Can we lift our hands to Jesus and just worship Him? If you've been here the last 2 days, you already know that you should give thanks, acknowledge Him. So just go ahead and acknowledge. Thank Him for who He is and all He's done for you. Just go ahead and thank Him this morning. Just acknowledge Him and thank Him. Glory to God. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for what He said to you in His Word. Thank Him for what you understand from His Word, what He said to you. Come on, go ahead and thank Him because you're blessed. Thank Him because you are the healed of the Lord. Thank Him for what His Word has said to you, what His Word has assured you. Amen. Praise God. All right, just help me welcome two or three people and please be seated. Praise God. Just welcome somebody and please be seated. Trust me, the best image to meditate on is God's image of you. Trust me also. Well, trust God's word. The best thing to be grateful for are not the natural. Anyone who wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Father, for waking me up. Thank you for promotion. Thank you for the baby and the car and the house. And some things produce those things. So find out what those things are and thank Him for those things. Some things produce those other things. You need to understand what I'm saying. Some things produce those things. Find out what those things are. Find out what they are. Find out what they are. So maybe today it was a headache. Tomorrow was a pain in the back. Maybe some other time next week it was some other thing in your body. But by the time you lift your hands and you go, thank you because by His wounds I've already been healed. It covers anything that has to do with your health. So you might now touch specifics, but it deals with everything. The psalmist in the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103, said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And he began to list benefits. He forgave all our iniquities, healed all our diseases. What else did He do? Redeemed our life from destruction. What else did He do? Loving kindness and tender mercy. What else did He do? Filled our mouth with good things that our youth may be what? So I want you to run through that again. Forget not all His benefits. And he began to list the benefits. Number one was He forgave all our iniquities. Next one, He did what? All our diseases. Next one, He did what? Redeemed our life from destruction. Then He did what? Crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Then He did what? Filled our mouth with good things that our youth may be renewed like the eagles. We'll do it one more time. Again, let's go. He forgave how many? How many? How many? How many? How many iniquities did He forgive? How many iniquities did He forgive? Are there iniquities that are not forgivable? Some of you are not sure. How many iniquities did He forgive? Are there sins that are not forgivable? Some of you are not sure. According to the verse, how many sins did God forgive? So are there sins that cannot be forgiven? We'll do it again. According to the verse, how many sins did God forgive? So are there sins that God cannot forgive? Are you sure? Let's move to the next one. How many diseases did He heal? How many diseases did He heal? How many diseases did He heal? So are there diseases that are incurable? Think again. How many diseases did He heal? 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 So according to God's word, are there diseases that are incurable? We'll do it one more time. How many diseases did he heal? You know what I'm doing with you? You're meditating. How many diseases did he heal? 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 Give me names of diseases. Cancer, HIV, tuberculosis, gonorrhea, hepatitis, meningitis, scleroderma. There are too many names. I don't just be giving me the big, you know, they are very big names. Multiple sclerosis. Now, when you follow some of these healing ministries, I hear big names. You know, as big as those names are, is a piece of cake where Jesus is concerned. Because as far as he's concerned, he healed all your diseases. He healed all your diseases. The one that has name, the one that does not have name, is still subject to the mightiest name available. He healed all your diseases. How many did he heal? 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 So when they look at you and say, oh, I'm so sorry, this is incurable. The person that spoke only said it based on the level of knowledge and experience and expertise that that person has. There's a superior physician. There's a superior doctor that doesn't practice medicine. He himself is the healing balm. How many diseases does he heal? How many did he heal? You know, in the lifetime of Jesus, when he was on the face of the earth, Bible will say that a multitude followed him and he healed them all. A multitude followed him and he healed them all. A multitude followed him and he healed them all. You know, and there's a way Jesus ran his own healing ministry, you know, that the truth is we need to renew our minds to catch up with that kind of healing ministry. So somebody comes to Jesus and says, it's leprosy. You don't hear just say, wow. So what did your doctor say about it? So how long has it been on you? Oh, wow. So did they say it's cleansing or it's not cleansing? Jesus doesn't follow all the drama. Just touches and says, you're healed. Behold. You know, so we like to ask, so how many days? Where is the pain? Is he on this side or that side? So does he come and go? Whether he's coming and going or he's going and coming, he should go and not come back again. I'm trying to say it's a renewal of mind even for the preacher. It's a renewal of mind even for everybody. It's a renewal of mind. It's a renewal of mind. It's a renewal of mind. So if we all renew our minds, we'll rise. Because no matter how long they describe the thing or how long they said it has stayed there, the summary is that this thing is a piece of cake. Because bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then he began to list benefits. What are benefits? What are benefits, guys? He said, forget not all his what? Benefits. So he begins to list what? Benefits. So benefits are benefits. And the Bible says he daily loads us with what? Benefits. So if these are daily benefits, then I do nothing to receive them. They are benefits. I say that again. If these are benefits, what's a benefit? Benefit. Bene. Eh? Is bene. Benefits. You happen to be the beneficiary. Alright, is there a beneficiary of God's goodness in this place? A recipient of God's goodness in this place. So God is good. Is he good? So God says, I daily load you with what? Benefits. So the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget some of his benefits. Don't forget all. Because if you don't think about these things, you won't have them in mind. And don't forget, last night you have to acknowledge. You cannot acknowledge what you don't know. Did you get that now? You can't acknowledge what you're not aware of. So it says, forget not all his benefits. And he begins to list benefit. Benefit number one. He forgave how many of your sins? All. It's not dependent on how you feel. All means all. Glory to God. We'll get there better in a little minute. But he forgave all your sins. Next one. Healed all your diseases. Next one. He delivered your life from what? Whether it was accident, scorpion bite, something going wrong, something at the office. It's all still summarized under destruction. And summarily, he delivers your life from what? Say, my life is delivered from destruction. But why don't you say, my life is delivered from destruction? Oh, what if you're going to Lagos and something happened and my own life is delivered from destruction? Why? It is part of my benefits. Anybody getting this right now? You know, when you get a job, there are packages that follow your job, right? So these are benefits. Whether you now enjoy the benefit or not, it is your benefit. Forgiveness of sin is your benefit. You don't cry to get it. You don't roll on the floor to get it. You don't sweep church floor to get it. It is a benefit. It is part of your benefit. Your sins are forgiven. Benefit. What if I'm a bad guy? Benefit. Collect. As long as you're born again. Even to the guy that is not born again. Listen, God is not forgiving the sins of the born again person. God forgave the sin of the whole world. I'll say that again. God is not forgiving the sin of the born again person. He forgave the sin of the whole world. Nobody was born again when Jesus died. It is in receiving what he did for you that you become born again. Who got that now? So the person out there on the street still has his own sins also what? Forgiven. He only has not received or acknowledged the thing that Jesus has done for him. So he will go to hell to suffer for a sin that has already been paid for. Because all sins have been forgiven. And that happened before we're all born. He forgave how many iniquities? 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 Then he healed how many diseases? And I'll need you to understand that forgiveness of sin and healing go hand in hand. What do I mean? It's in one blow that he blew the two away. One breath. Sin and sickness, one blow. So we deal more with sin, we're a lot more tolerant with sickness. We're intolerant with sin. Anybody hearing me? We tolerate sickness. Oh, how you doing? Oh, really? Ah, sorry. How long has the pain been there? Oh, wow. Please rest. Oh, please sit down. Oh, please. Are you okay now? What do you like to eat? What do you want to drink? Are you feeling fine now? Let me check you again tomorrow. What about next tomorrow? I'll check you next week. Are you fine now? Oh, kring, kring. Hello. How are you today? How is it now? What's happening? And we tolerate it and we pamper it and we tolerate it and we pamper it. But you never pamper the guy who is sinning and say, yeah, how is he sinning? Are you feeling good? Are you sinning again tomorrow? Can I check you tomorrow? Let's sin again. Okay, let's check you back. Let's sin again. So the same intolerance we have for sin is the same intolerance we should have for sickness. You don't tolerate any. How did I know that? Isaiah 53. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Oh, so I have to be angry at that guy. He's sinning. No, you are not angry at the person. You're angry at the thing. God loves everybody, doesn't he? Does he like what everybody does? No. So that's not, oh, so I have to be angry. No, you're not angry at, it's just like you now say, I'm angry because that guy is sick. No, you're not angry at the person. You're angry at
The sickness.
So what does your anger do? Watch it. Same one blow. I don't know if I say that thing in Nigerian English. Yeah. One blow, two die. Have you, is it one blow, two die? Seven die. Alright, so let's see how many died here. Surely, you know when Bible says something sure is sure, right? Surely he did what? Bore our griefs and then what? Carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and what? Afflicted. Next verse. For he was what? What is a transgression? Sin. So he was wounded for our what? Transgressions, and bruised for our what? Iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, healing and sin and health dealt together. The same time he carried our sin was the same time he carried our sickness. The same moment, the same day, the same time. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and with his stripes. We are. Or what does he say there? What, we are? Did he say we are? He said we are. We are. And Isaiah here is looking by the spirit of prophecy, seeing what's happening to Jesus right there on the cross. So right there on the cross, when God put all our sin on him, God also put what on him? All our diseases on him. 1 Peter 2 and 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Okay, let's read together. One, two, go. Who himself did what? Bore our sins where? In his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes? Same thing together, same time. As he carried that sin, he carried the sickness. Question, how many of his sins did he carry? How many of his sicknesses did he carry? How many of his sin did he carry? How many of his sicknesses did he carry? How many of his sin did he carry? How many of his sicknesses did he carry? How many of his sin did he carry? How many of his sicknesses did he carry? Nobody ever came to Jesus and said, Master, I'm sick. And then he said, it's not your fault. When you were eating the things you were not supposed to eat, why was your stomach not paying you? You know, he never asked those questions. You know, we think like that because condemnation sets in. I shared a number of years ago. I think we're still like somewhere in the middle floor then or something. I said I had a witness in my heart not to eat something. So I went ahead and I did. So when I did, it troubled my stomach. And then the moment it did, you know the next thing that plays in your mind, you shouldn't have. You knew you shouldn't have. So I said, yeah, I shouldn't have. All right, so Lord, I knew I shouldn't have, so I did. So I'm sorry about the fact that I did. The moment you're done with that, I mean, I'm sorry about the fact that I did. So should I continue for 3 days having this pain in my belly? So belly, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you right now. Arrange. And everything was okay. The only thing that will not make it okay, somewhere in your mind, you are still condemning yourself, defeating yourself, punishing yourself, and telling yourself, is it not you that want to do what you should not do? And Jesus is not doing that to you, because there is therefore now no condemnation. Anybody understanding this? So you understand, listen, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm who he says I am. If not, you're going to keep faulting. And whatever condemns you knocks your confidence level. Whatever knocks your confidence level affects your faith level. I'll say that again. Confidence, condemnation entertained is confidence affected. Confidence affected his faith, disrupted. Jesus was talking, and then some men dragged the woman to where he was, disrupting what he was doing. And he said, Moses said in the law, anybody caught in adultery should be stoned to death. This one was caught in the very, 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 very act. And the next thing the Bible said Jesus did was put his hand on his head and shouted, hell, abomination. Was that what he did? You know the story. You know what he said. Then he looked at the woman and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "They are gone. None." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." Then he says, "Go and sin no more." What the church would usually do is twist that upside down and say, "If you don't sin no more, then I will not condemn you." Jesus turned it the other way and said, "I do not condemn you." In that mindset of no longer condemned, walk in the liberty and sin no more. Anybody got what I just said? Because I am not condemned, then sin no more. Not if you don't sin again, I will not condemn you. No, I am not condemned. Sin no more. Knowing that I'm not condemned and constantly doing wrong, I would also keep asking, I am not condemned. So meditating on I'm not condemned and not condemned eventually empowers you to say, I don't sin no more. Why is this important? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, we stopped at verse 3 last night. Ephesians 1 is one of the most exciting places you want to spend time in your Bible. And like I said last night, if we don't spend time acknowledging, listen, life doesn't play fair. Circumstances don't play fair. Nothing tries to play fair. So even we unconsciously forget who we are. Then you forget who you are. Then you are, like, you know, you remember, you know, James chapter 1 that I read yesterday. You're like a man that looked at himself in the mirror and forget what he saw in the mirror and acted otherwise. So you find yourself misbehaving. What's a misbehavior? You're acting outside of the norm of who you are. So, but how do I know who I am? Come back to the word and stare at who you are in the mirror. Remind yourself, this is who I am. 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 There was something I used to teach a number of years back. You know, some of the older members remember that. You know, how that, you know, if you find someone smoking, and a person saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You guys remember that? So how do you smoke and be saying I'm righteous of God in Christ Jesus? Because the smoking does not determine who you are. You are who you are as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How do you then break the power of the habit you got yourself into? It's not by meditating on the habit, but meditating on who you are. It's that simple. As simple as it is, if we don't do it, it becomes complex. Like we said last night about acknowledging. If you don't acknowledge, what does it take to acknowledge? How easy is acknowledging something? How easy is it? Very easy. But why don't we do it? Our lives depend on acknowledging this thing because the communication of our faith becomes effective by acknowledging who we are. Even soldiers, when they're going to battle, they psych themselves, right? They start singing. They sing some songs. They charge themselves up. They are chanting. They are marching and chanting. Shouldn't they even conserve energy? When you watch all these epic movies and they are going to war, and then the captain or the general or someone, he charges them up and they're shouting, hey, 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 hoo, hoo, hey, hey, hey. Even if one of them will scatter in another 5 minutes. Alright, but they were still, hey, hey, hoo, hoo, hey, hey. Then when it's time to charge forward, what do they all do? Ah! Even if they will run back again, what? I mean, they will still shout. Why are they not conserving energy? Because there's something about belting out the strength in you. Why don't Chinese people keep quiet when they are fighting? Anybody ever thought about that? I think we should go and ask them. Push out, push out, go, go, go. I mean, why must they say something? And some of them would even analyzing, you kill my teacher, kill my monkey. Do they still do all those killing somebody? I don't know. It's been a while I said Chinese movie. Listen, say something. You know, Pastor Elias was talking earlier about the herbalist and all of that. If I mention Abidjana, I don't know how many of you remember. You know, but when they are doing all those, they are, I mean, those native herbalists, when they are contesting and they are doing all them incantations, what are they using? Words. And one will speak words to the other. Hey! And I will scatter, stagger small.
Hey, shake it off and say it's on. They are using words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and that Word was God. That's the most superior word in the entire universe. Bigger than words that any human being can utter. The most superior. God now gave you the power to speak His own words. And all we have to do is say it every day, and we seem to forget. And life is challenging us. Life is beating at us. Life is hitting at us. And we're there moping and groaning and sighing and getting tired of life. Whereas the command, life and death, death and life, they're in the power of our words. They're in the power of our tongue. All we need to do is say something and say, listen, it's easy to say, but are we saying it? Are we reminding ourselves of who we are? 2007, when all we had was how many members? Maybe 10, maybe how many? And every day I could sometimes talk for 4 hours. Perhaps 10, 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, adds nothing to it. And I talk it for 4 hours, 6 hours. What are you doing? You know, listen, outside this word, we have zero. Ever go for evangelism? Have you not gone before? I've talked one day on empty stomach, my eyes were turning by evening. I'm preaching to people, talking to people, inviting people. Walking down the streets of Ijebode. How many of them turned up? None. But there's a command of the word, which doesn't stop you from going out to do the thing you should do in the natural, but you add the command of the scripture. The blessing of the Lord is upon us here. It makes us rich. It adds no sorrow. So in another few months, we finally were able to break 20. We're 20 for 6 months. 20 in attendance, 6 months. But by 1 year, that's within the next 6 months, we hit 100 people. John says, must you confess? What if you didn't confess? Ask those that did not confess. So I say, what's the confession? It's the fact that you put words, God's word in your mouth, and you change your circumstances with it. If it's not bulging, keep speaking it. 6 months is not easy time, is it? That's half a whole year. So any impatient person does not have time for 6 months. 6 months, you're tired. No. And that's why I didn't say it 6 months. Initially last night, what did I tell us? Be ready to speak this thing for 1 year. You know, because there's this time factor to faith that affects your faith. You want to say it now to get it now. So if it doesn't come now, what happens to you? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You're tired. I've tried it. I said it 1 week. Nothing happens. Forget 1 week. Forget the timing. If you're ill, go to the hospital. Don't forget faith. Now, let me say that. I'm not saying forget faith, like forget the oppression of faith, but forget the pressure of faith. Keep feeding yourself. Pumping yourself every day with the word. Your head is paining if you want. Take Panadol. Swallow. But every day, you're pumping. When you are full of that thing, nobody will tell you what to do next. Because it of itself will rise by itself. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should plant seed in the ground and the man goes to bed. And the ground is growing by itself. So that means when I put the word in me, it will flourish by itself. Let's see, Mark 4:24. I know it's supposed to do Ephesians, so let me try and explain, because these are principles. Mark 4:24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again. And more to you will be given on how you hear. For whoever has, to him will more be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And he said, watch this please with me. The kingdom of God is as if a man should do what? Scatter seed where? Alright, and if you understand this principle, the ground is where? The heart of man. So watch this principle, and the seed is what? The word. So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground, and the man should do what? So tell him about sleep. Tell him about sleep, 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 sleep. So all this pressure of, hey, you're not sleeping. You're not sleeping. You're not sleeping. You're like the guy that went to plant a seed, and the next morning he went to uproot the seed to check if the seed was growing. What's going to happen to that seed? So every day, has it worked? Is it working? Has it worked? Is it working? Has it worked? Is it working? Has it worked? You're checking the seed. You're uprooting the seed. You're checking the seed. You're not in sleep mode. You're trying to make the seed to grow. You don't grow the seed. Growing of the seed is not in your hand. Yes, you cultivate. You weed, you water, but you don't make it grow. Who is hearing me this morning? Tell anybody, go to bed. Say, go to bed. Now tell yourself, I rest. When will it change? Rest. Because you're not resting disturbs the process. You're not resting destabilizes the process. You're not resting hinders the process. So he should sleep by night and rise when? By day. Watch this. And the seed should do what? Sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. So the way the word will work in your heart, you don't know. But your job is to do what? Put the word in your heart. Put it there. Why? Next verse. For the earth yields crops by your help. Come on, somebody. For the earth will yield the crops by your help. So what are you supposed to go and do? Sleep. You can't help this thing to grow. Your job was to plant it. Keep it planted. Don't disturb the process. For the earth will yield crops by itself. Listen, when seed meets ground, a process begins. True or false? Agriculture. When a seed meets the ground, something starts. Is that not what we call germination? But a seed will die first. So why are you waiting for, I planted corn. I want to see corn now. Corn seed says I must die first too. For except a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. I need to die. Then I start my process. But you're in a hurry. For the earth yields crop by itself. It now says there are processes also. First what? The blade. Then the ear. Then you get the full corn, your full grain. And that's where gratitude comes in. I said last night, your first phase of speaking the word sometimes doesn't change the situation. It changes who first? You. Sets your mind. When your mind starts setting, you used to be afraid of sickness and disease. You're always afraid to go to the hospital to run tests because of whatever the doctor might tell you. After a while, you speak the word to a point where you fear none of those things. You haven't gone yet. How you feel is still the way you feel. You've not seen the test result yet, but how you think has just, you've traveled worst case and you're smiling at whatever your doctor wants to tell you. Something has changed. You didn't psych yourself to change it. Something just reconfigured by you planting the seed in your heart. Just by you planting the word, something just alters inside you. Because the earth will bring this thing by itself. Your ground, listen, your heart is wired to produce. Did you hear what I just said? Your heart is wired to produce. So when we think evil, it can produce it. When you think good, it can produce it. You're wired to produce. So what are you looking for? What seed do you want? Oh, it's prosperity. It's prosperity. Then take the word. Blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has already blessed me. Plant it. Wake up in the morning. I'm blessed. Afternoon, I'm blessed. Evening, I'm blessed. You want to go pee in the middle of the night? I'm blessed. You wake up again in the morning? I'm blessed. You turn on your bed? I'm blessed. Pastor, can we talk like that? The same way you wake up. Have you ever had a full day the next day and you woke up like 1 million times before the morning? Anybody been there? Is it 5 o'clock yet? Something was programmed in you unconsciously that was setting it. If it can happen in natural things, you can set the word like that. You think it to a point where each time you awake, I am blessed. I am blessed. Till sometimes you pick up the phone to say hello and what comes out of your mouth is, I'm blessed. Do you know that happens to people? Because you've taught the word. Listen, even at that point, your finances might not have changed yet. Oh, but the seed has died. And listen, the process has started. Because when the seed is dying, we don't see it. When the germination starts in the ground, we don't see it. But we have to sleep. If we don't sleep, we disturb the process. Because you want to come and check, uproot your seed. Check, check. How far? It has one strand. One strand. Why one strand? Nature. Why one strand? Put it back. No, it's not nature. God set a process. Now, I know we call it nature, but I intentionally said it's not nature. Okay? You know, because some people have this mother nature. We just put mother, father inside all these things that are not mothers and fathers. Glory to God. Are you understanding me this morning? So what should you spend your time doing? Put the seed in your heart. Acknowledge. The communication of your faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. The communication of your faith becomes effective. The communication of your faith becomes effective. If I think defeat, I'll be defeated. Watch this. That I experience defeat does not mean I'm defeated. When I begin to meditate on that defeat, I can eventually become defeated. And then you wonder, why am I being defeated? No, you open the final door to the defeat. So when you realize you've opened the door to the defeat, what should you do? Shut the door. But the moment you shut the door to the defeat might not go immediately, but the door has been closed. So what happens to us is, hey, but I've shut the door. I've shut the door. Why are things not changing? Good news is the door has been shut. Oh, who got that part? The door has been shut. So what you now want to deal with is the remaining one that entered the house. The door has been shut. The door has been shut. I refuse to continue like this. I refuse things to remain like this. I refuse. At that point, you are shutting your door. I refuse my life to continue like this. I refuse things to remain like this. I refuse. Bow. You shut the door. You shut the door. You shut the door. Tell anybody, shut the door. We can't allow it. It just goes on. Hey, I get mad. I this apple and that apple and I'm frustrated and I'm depressed and we'll just listen. Life will just continue. It will be fanning you. But let continue. You're angry. Is that what they did to you? Yeah. In fact, they did it to me to continue. And it'll be fanning you like that. Oh, I'm just sick and tired. My life is just frustrated. And life will be fanning you to continue saying the wrong things to yourself. Continue. Continue. You're sick and tired. Everybody's sick and tired. Nigeria is sick and tired. Everybody's sick and tired. You're not alone. Everybody's sick and tired. Continue. Continue. And it's fanning you to continue. And you're not learning that I'm saying the wrong thing, guy. I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm feeding myself with the wrong thing. And it's going to produce after its kind. I'm feeding myself with the wrong thing. Shut the door. They're not anymore. I've said this thing for too long. I've allowed this thing for too long. No. So we become like the prodigal son. We come to our senses. Not anymore. I'm blessed. If it's Gary, I'm going to drink after church. I'll drink it like it's not Gary. I'll drink it like it's blessed Gary. Listen, God did not say, I will carry you. He didn't say, I will house you. He never said, I will wife you. He didn't say, I will job you. He said, I have blessed you. And that blessing of the Lord maketh rich. That blessing provides every other thing you're looking for. So you say, oh God, thank you. Just bless me with a car. No, the blessing is not the car. But we're used to quantifying the blessing with the material things. No, Joseph was in Egypt. He was a slave in Egypt and was still blessed. Have you met a blessed slave before? None of you would ever even think that your house help is a slave. I mean, it's blessed. A slave is worse than a house help. Joseph was a blessed slave. That means he carried something on him which didn't seem to reflect yet in the natural circumstance. Because you almost wonder, if you are blessed, how did you become a slave? Life will ask you those kinds of questions. If you are blessed, how did you end up in the prison? The blessing doesn't care how you got to where you got to. It will get you out. Set the right perspective. Are you telling me the blessing wasn't there? Who knows how Isaac got wife? Isaac was in his house. Isaac did not even say, Papa, I think it's time for me to get married. No. Abraham called his servant and said, my son needs a wife right now. You're going to do me a favor. You will swear, alright, because I'm sending you on a mission to go and look for a wife. Where was Isaac? He was at rest. And they sent someone to go and look for a wife. We should do that nowadays, right? But watch this now, because of who is involved. You know the way people used to write Jehovah is involved? And when he's involved, go to bed. But many times we don't go to bed, but Jehovah is involved. And because we're not going to bed, we alter the process. But Jehovah is involved. But you're not allowing him to do it the way he wants to do it. So Isaac was at home. And then the servant swore. And then Abraham said, you know, where he should get to. And he got to, you know. And he prayed one very, very, very impossible prayer. That, okay, God of my master Abraham, you've always blessed. Even the servant knew that Abraham was blessed. And he said, okay, let the person that will be Isaac's wife be the woman that will ask for water. And then I'll tell her, I'm thirsty, give me water. And she'll say, okay, I'll give you, but not only you, I'll give to your camels also. Guys, he had 10 camels. And one camel takes about 40 gallons of water. And he had 10 camels. So except she just gave them water to Sipo. If she had to give them water after a very long journey, then each camel might have had to take 40 gallons, 10 camels, 400 gallons. That lady must have been helped by 15 angels. All right, joke, one angel is enough. Anyway, do you understand what I'm saying? It was an impossible thing. And it so happened that the moment he finished praying, the very first lady that showed up was the right lady. So, one, timing was supernaturally arranged. Number two, his impossible prayer was supernaturally answered. Number three, it is the person that he was looking for that he found. So he gets to Laban's house. He now explains to them his mission. They now tell Rebecca, you can follow him. It's okay. They tell the servant, when do you want to go? He say, ah. Allow me to say it in Yoruba, then I'll come back to English. Tisha obankpeni. Okay, now that I said it in Yoruba, well, let's look for the English. Make hay while the sun is shining. There's no point we're wasting time here, bro. If this is the babe, then let me go with her. They said, well, it is not in your power to determine whether she should go with you or not. Let us ask her. Then they ask Rebecca, sis, where would you like to go? If he's going now, I'll go now. Have you met him before? No. Do you know where he's taking you to? No. Do you know the guy you're going to marry? No. Now, they didn't ask all those questions in the Bible, but I'm saying, it's a family meeting. You just met a guy and he showed up and he said, I come to call her wife for, and you said, I will go now. The impossible became possible because Jehovah was involved. The supernatural was involved. But question, all through this process, where was Isaac? At home. Isaac now gave birth to one son he called Jacob. And Jacob likes to do deals. And I tell believers, be careful of doing deals with God. Don't do deals. Now, what if I do deals? It's a lower level of operation of faith. It's, you are bargaining trust. Jacob made a deal with his brother Esau. True or false? You want porridge? Give me birthright. He made a deal with God at Bethel. If you bring me back here safely, I'll give you 10% of everything I have. He's a dealer. So he gets to his uncle's house and then he sees a fine girl and says, uncle, he could have just simply said, uncle, I like her. Can I marry her? But his dealing mind came again. Uncle, can I serve you for 7 years and marry her? He's a deal guy. And the uncle played along with the deal. Then swapped the wife. Then gave him another deal. Then gave him two wives. But listen. His father sat at home to get a wife. That means he could have been at rest and he would have gotten a wife. Because the blessing that worked on his daddy was still working on him. Anybody gets this thing? Go to bed. Rest. Let the word work. Go to bed. Let the blessing work. All you need to do is acknowledge and follow the timings and the promptings of the Spirit. He will lead you. He will position you. He will talk to you. Follow, but go to bed. He that believeth does not make haste. It doesn't mean you are careless. Doesn't mean you are inactive, but just means you are not hasty. Now, doesn't that mean you are on the going to the airport? It's a 9 a.m. flight, and you are on the going to the airport at 9:45. They say, "Ah, Uncle Rush." You say, "No, he that believe it does not make haste." Okay. So by the time you get to the airport, they will be showing you your plane. In fact, your plane would have gone before you get. You understand that? So I'm not saying wake up in the morning and don't say, "No, he that believe it does not make haste." Hope you know that is not what we're saying. There's a time to be quick, prompt, sharp, sensitive. There's a time for that. But do you know, as much as Jacob did deals to get the wives, you know God still worked with the wives? Eventually Jacob became Israel. He had 12 sons. The nation became 12 tribes. 12 tribes from the women and their housemates. Who got that? So even the dealing that he did to get 2 women plus maid, God now blessed it and made it a nation with 12 nations. Let me not enter that topic. God is just interesting. God is interesting. Ephesians 1. How many of Ephesians 1 can we do this morning? Let's see. Hey. But have you learned something this morning? All right. So let's round up this one and then we'll enter our grand finale in the second service. But have you been blessed so far? So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Glory to God. All things are ready. All things are mine. Blessed be God and who? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has what? Blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in where? Did you notice the tense that was used there? Present, past, or future tense? Present, past, or future tense? Present, past, or future tense? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His. The day you got born again, all these are your benefits. Everything we're reading this morning here. So let me try and quicken it, and then maybe pick one or two, and then we'll close in this service, move on to the next. Verse 4. New King James. Verse 4. Just as He did what? Chose us in Him before what? The foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and what? Hell! You know, we said something last night in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that when you look into the mirror, you are seeing the glory of God. Alright, watch this now. What you see in that mirror is your reality. Hope you understand me now. What you see in the mirror, I said 2 things. I said your possibility is your reality. You remember that last night? What you see in the mirror is your... This you is the fake you. The one in the mirror is a real you. The one on Instagram might be the fakest you. Depending on what you are posting on Instagram. Alright? You know it can be dark and then become yellow popo on Instagram. Alright? So, but listen. Focus more on yourself than on social media. Focus more on who you are. The greatest image you need is the image of God in your mind, not people's image about you. I'll say that again, please. The greatest image you need is God's image of you, not people's image about you. The greatest image you need is God's image of you. What is God thinking about you? How does God see you? What is God's opinion of the matter? Listen, people can escort you. Allow the word escort now. But that one might even work better, really. People can escort you out of the will of God for your life. How many of you remember the story of the young prophet and the old prophet? And then God told the young prophet, after you deliver this prophecy, do not stay, run away. And the old prophet showed up and said, God spoke to me now to tell you to follow me to my house and refresh yourself. Say, hey, yes, sir, God spoke to you. I will follow you, sir. And then he entered, sat down, ate, and the same old prophet now spoke and said, thus saith the Lord. You will die before you get home because you disobeyed me. What is God telling you? If God says this is what I called you to do, hear from God. Now, sometimes you say, I didn't hear. So I'm always saying, but did you go and hear? So go and hear. Stay with what you hear. Anybody hearing me this morning? What is God's image of you? When this church was going to begin in Ijebu, I mean, I left Lagos to come here. I wasn't celebrated. No red carpet. Reception. Okay, if entering is reception, leaving will be what? No red carpet. Exit. No celebration. No, hey, hoorah, hooray, hooroo. None. More than half of my friends doubted it. But story changed after a while. But the story didn't change after 3 months. I had someone who asked me how church was doing back then, 2007. I said, now we have about 10 members. I mean, no, almost four, no, between 4-10 or something. The young man sowed a seed. Gave me cash. I said, it's a special seed. I said, I asked him why. He said, because I never believed that this church would survive of starting. That much doubt was what I faced. That's also the seed to me in the first 6 months of church, because the church could even survive 6 months. Sowed seed. What you sit in here, guys, you don't understand the amount of faith and obedience that kept it going. Now, I'm not saying that out of, hey, I'm saying that out of the grace of God that strengthened us. When your friends are looking at you and you can see doubt on their faces and concern. There were places I refused to go to because they'll be asking me questions about church. It's better not to go there. So when I'm ready to show up, I'll show up. Now, I'm not saying that out of fear. Don't get me wrong. There are places I needed to be, and I went there. And they asked me. If I remember one pastor saw me somewhere. Say, wow, Pastor Rex, you must have blown Ijebu today. Wow, how many people did you have in church yesterday? I said, 4. His eyes bulged out. Hey, and I smiled. I said, yeah, 4. So I'm saying that so you get the balance of, not like I'm afraid. So I'm like, no, I'm just saying there are times when you're busy focusing on a project, you don't need distractions. You don't need the Sambalats and Tobiases. Focus on your wall building as Nehemiah. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's because you know, oh God, because you can get busy building the wrong thing. Find out when you're 70 that all that was wrong. And God had been involved all the while you were not listening. Alright? Being led by the Spirit is different from stubbornness or self-will. Be led. Be sincerely led. Verse 4. Are you ready for this verse? Are you sure? This is how God sees you. Okay. So I'll run through it. We'll touch it better in the next service. Just as he did what? Chose what tense he chose. Take note of the tense. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and what? Without blame before him where? You know God looks at you blameless. I didn't say it. You just read it. You are holy and you are without blame. God is not blind. He knows what he did last night. But God is saying you are blameless. God is not blaming you. He's not faulting you. Doesn't mean he's ignorant of what you did. But you are blameless. I need to take time to explain this, and I need to be careful not to touch it too far so I don't get stuck and I don't have the time, because I really don't have the time for it. But this is the key. Just as he did what? Read with me. Want to go? Just as he chose us where? Hold on. You'll get this thing. Okay, maybe we'll play on that. Just as he chose us where? Say in him. Say it again. Say it again. In what? Come, let me have it, please. I trust that this illustration with this quick time would help you. This is me, the guy that is not born again. Is that all right? Then I am now born again. Something changed about my life. You need to stay with me, focus, whatever is going on. Please come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man beware, in Christ. Question, how perfect is Christ? How lovely is Christ? How wonderful is Christ? How exceptional is Christ? How everything is Christ? Hello, somebody. So just as he did what? chose us where? Who is him? Just as he chose us in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Who is before him? Christ. We are in Christ. So when God looks at you, who is he seeing? So how does he see you? So how does he rate you? So my rating before God is my rating in Christ. So God rates me as he would have rated Christ. Because on my own, I have no rating. My own righteousness is a filthy rag. But I am not in Christ with my righteousness. I am in Christ in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So my righteousness is the one I got in Christ, not the one I did. Listen, no matter how good you are in being good, you can only get the award of being the best sinner. Let me repeat myself. No matter how good you are in bragging about being good, the best award you will get is best sinner. The righteousness of man is a filthy, smelling, dirty rag before God. No matter how righteous a man wants to brag that he has been behaving, I've not done this before, I've not done that before, I've not done this, he'll just clap for you and say, best sinner. In the best of your righteousness, you are still a sinner. But in Christ, even the guy that is not living up to the way he expects himself to, as in God, in Christ, he has been given a righteousness he never did anything to get. Someone needs to hear what I just said. He gets righteousness free. So, while the guy that is good, no matter how good he is, outside Christ, all his good is sin. In Christ, if the guy is in Christ, even if he's bad, he's righteous. Says, how does that happen? Why did God do that? If you understand the love and the kindness of God. Say mercy. Say judgment. Say mercy. Say judgment. Do you know God is merciful? But do you know God is just? Do you know God is just? Do you know God is just? So you go to the court, you were arrested, and then you got to the courtroom, and you find out the judge was your best friend in secondary school. You know, you can start winking at him. That hit and run. It wasn't really hit and run. I hit. I stayed. I didn't run. It was when the police came, I went to PMIC. They didn't find me, so they said I ran. You know the way your lawyer can arrange everything? That wasn't hit and run, it was hit, wait, P. And then they caught me and said I ran. You understand what I'm saying? So you're winking at the judge and say, well, it was my friend in secondary school, my ride and die buddy. But because he's a just judge, what would he do? He has to sentence you. He sees the facts. He knows it was hit and run. He is a just judge. The soul that sin it has to die. God in his justice, no matter how he loved us, as a just judge, he must still pass the judgment. What he now does is this. He passes the judgment to humanity. The soul that sins has to die. Because told Adam, the day you eat of this thing, you will die. The soul that sins will die. Listen, I'm a just judge. I know I love you, but I can't help you. I can't change the power of justice. I can't turn the hand of justice. I must declare the sentence. You've sinned. You die. So you're sentenced to death. So after your judge sentences you, he now goes into his judge chamber, pulls his robe as a judge, removes his wig, and now comes out to say, I had to sentence you as a judge. Now I've come as your friend to take your place in death. The judge has to sentence you. But the lover has to stand in your place. For there's no greater love than this. For a man to take the life, I mean stand and give his own life because of friends. But the judge has to declare. This is what will happen. This is what must be done. Then the same judge, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. After he passed the judgment, he now became Christ. And said, they cannot handle the judgment I passed, but I had to pass it. Now I take their place. And I also now have to take the judgment. So God now hangs on the cross. And takes on your sin. Takes on your sickness. Takes on everything. And he now says, you are free to go. So every time you do something wrong. And he said, that guy, he's the one that sinned. He said, no, that's the guy that sinned. So everything you do wrong is charged to my account. Because in the record now, you are dead. But I died in your place. So you live a free life. So now see, and they say, hey, ole, thief, catch him. They say, no, he's not a thief. They say, but we saw him. No, no, no. He has served the punishment. You cannot come and arrest him again to serve punishment. Someone has been served. So anytime he is wrong, it charges into that person's account. Listen, Jesus died before you were ever born. And before you ever committed your first sin. Now he saw all your sins into the future. Stood and died for it. No matter whatever else you're doing, it's charged to that account. Jesus is not coming to die a second time or a third time or a fourth time. It's charged. So when God looks at you, he sees you where? In Christ. He sees you accepted. He sees you loved. This is what we have to go out there to be preaching. All things are ready. Is anybody getting this? So he looks at you blameless. Does that not mean he will now not deal? Listen, there's a way I could tell you, improve this, work on this, adjust this, change this, do it this way, do it that way. But there's a way I can say, see your life with everything I've done for you. How are you? Adjust. Is there a difference between the two? So God can still talk to you. He now gives you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. Adjust. I died for you. No, be so. Adjust. Not for the condemnation of the saints. So you don't come and say, see your life. See, with everything I've done. See how you're wasting my anointing. See, in fact, that way. You're useless. He doesn't do that. He relates with you in love. He sees you in Christ. Why do we get depressed? Because we're not meditating on the love of God. We're meditating on the rejections of men. They treated me like this. They did this to me. They did that to me. Have you been there? Uh-huh. So they did this. They did that. They did this. They did that. They did this. And it hits at us. It's eating us away. It's eating us away. Knock it off. And say, I'll start meditating on the love of God for me. Because I'm accepted in the beloved. He accepted the day he announced that this is my beloved son. The son was representing me. The moment he accepted Christ, he accepted me. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. Anybody got that already? Glory to God. So that verse 4 ties to verse 6. Verse 6 says you're already accepted. That Ephesians 1:6, you're accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. So the same judge, verse 6, let's just read it and then we'll close from there. Anybody accepted here? Glory to God. Verse 6, glory to God. Verse 6, thank you Lord. Ephesians 1 and 6. The whole of Ephesians 1 is good for you. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us. He will make us. He's going to make us. He might make us. This is your image. Your image is what God says about you. He has already made you accepted. It's not, oh God, accept our praise. Or how do we say when we're younger? Oh God, accept our prayer and let our something come up to thee. We used to say that thing. We used to. Is it sacrifice or thanks? Something is coming up to thee. We get to say, oh God, accept. No, you're accepted. Wake up in the morning and you feel, I don't know. Maybe God's not happy with me today. No, I'm always accepted. In fact, in Isaiah 54, God swore that he will never be angry with you. He swore. Let's end on that one. Isaiah 54 verse 9. So don't be singing, mama, be no see me. Listen, he can never be angry with you. Never be angry with you. Alright? He says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. That's God's word. I'll never be angry with you. Maybe the reason why I failed my exam is because God is angry. Maybe the reason why I'm sick is because God is angry. Maybe the reason why I'm dying young is because God is angry. God says, no, I'm not angry with you. That's a lie. Maybe the reason why my father died in the accident. You know, the preacher said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Maybe because my daddy did that wrong thing, so God was mad. No. God said, I swear I'll never be angry with you. He will correct you. You saw the correction. He will adjust you. He will rearrange you. He will send preachers. He will send the Holy Ghost to talk to you. But God will never condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation. If there is any condemnation, it is your heart that condemns you. Your conscience condemns you. God does not. God is not in the business of condemning. Who is it that condemns? Is it Christ that died? So the one that died for you cannot be condemning you. Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Do you believe it? Are you sure? Oh, glory to God. Let me end there, Pastor.